What's up, y'all? Welcome to Sports Minded. I'm your host, Brittany Young. Now I want to introduce my guest. He's an Atlanta, Georgia native, a graduate of Georgia State University, a former sports reporter at the Clarion Ledger, a former content producer and senior writer for Rolling Out, and currently the senior audience editor for sports at NOLA.com. Rashad Milligan, welcome to the show.
What's good? What's good? What's good, Britt? I'm happy to be here, man.
I'm happy to have you. And the first way we got connected was when you did a feature piece on my former Mississippi State women's basketball teammate, Candace Foster, who I had on for the last episode. And I remember reading it, and I was just like, this is well written. Who wrote this? And she was like, yeah, Rashad Milligan. He's a cool guy. I'm gonna connect y'all. And you know, it's been love ever since. So I respected your pen. I know writing is a lost art. And today, you know, when you think about media, everything is either audio or video. But, you know, I respect your writing, man. So I just wanted to let you know that.
No, for sure. I really appreciate that because like I think a lot of people on the internet don't know that I'm actually like I really write for real, like because I like always when I was like kind of starting YouTube, I separated it from my job. So it was like I didn't want people at my job to know about YouTube because I wanted to kind of be as goofy and outgoing on YouTube as possible. And my job's a little more serious. So I kept those worlds separate. So the fact that you met me through the serious world it's a big I don't know. How do you say heads off, hats off, applause. It means a lot to me.
Well, good, good. So I want to ask you, how did you get into writing and journalism?
Yeah, so I was 10 years old. We had a spring break trip to Orlando, Florida for like, Universal and Disney World. And so every meal, my dad just took us all to Golden Corral because, like for all the kids and stuff like that, we all wanted different stuff. So it's like Golden Corral, everybody get what they want. So we would be at Golden Corral like two times a day, one time a day. And, one time we were there and my dad, he was just talking about how Chris Berman makes like $1 million a year from ESPN as his salary. I said, $1 million is like just to speak about sports. I was like, I'll do that for free. So I was like, I want to be ESPN analyst. And I hated running suicides at basketball practice and stuff like that. So I was like, I don't even have to run suicides. I don't even have to go in all the way. Like, I'll just be an announcer and work for ESPN and I'll get my money like that. So that's pretty much where it started. I was 10 years old and that's how it started. And the way that I got started with writing, the love for writing, just creativity. I feel like I've always been an eccentric and like weird kid. So like writing, drawing and stuff like that has always been like something that I like to do growing up. I'm not that good at drawing, but my mom was an art major and stuff like that. So she always does like crafts and projects around the house. Like she used to paint my walls when I was a kid, like as a sky. So it was like I go to sleep in the sky. It was real cool. But yeah, that's how that started. And I got in trouble my senior year of high school. And like when you get in trouble, like when you get written up or whatever, you gotta write what happened in your words, like your testimony. And so they called me back to the office. He said, I got good news, I got bad news. He's like, good news, this is one of the best written things, statements I've ever seen before. Like, you're really talented. You should really consider a career in writing. Bad news is you're suspended for 2 weeks. And I was like, dang. But I was like, maybe I'm good at this. So yeah, just kind of kept through it throughout college. In college, I did a sports writing essay competition. I'm gonna try to keep this short because this is really getting long. I'm not even aware of it. Keeping the clock in my head. Valdosta State, I did a sports writing competition. I finished second to the senior sports editor. After that, they was like, oh, you didn't win, but would you like to join the staff? Like, you're really good. I said, okay, cool. My first beat was the Valdosta State softball team my freshman year. Then I transferred to Georgia State. Georgia State, I joined the newspaper again. I became the sports editor for 2 years. And I also worked at the student TV station for 3 years. My shirt is really wrinkled. It's bothering me right now, but we're going to keep moving past that. I graduated from Georgia State 2017. When I graduated, I won a bunch of awards my senior year for like journalism and stuff. That got me attention to get my internship with Rolling Out. And Rolling Out kind of got my foot in the door. Then after college, first full-time job was a news reporter at Douglas County Sentinel. That's 45 minutes, 40 minutes west of Atlanta. And I did the city and crime beat out there. So I did news for the first time. I did that for 11 months. I got laid off. I went in a car, text all my friends, yo, I got laid off. One of my boys was like, actually, I'm burnt out from my job. Would you like it? But it's in Alabama. I said, yeah, I want a job in sports. I've been doing news for the past year. He said, okay, bet. That next week, I started in Alabama. I moved to Alabama. I'm in Alabama for 2 years. I was the sports editor at the Valley Times News. I was the first black sports editor out there. First black editor at the paper, period. So it was like a big deal. It's a really cool community. I was there for 2 years, started winning awards in the state of Alabama there. That got me more attention. USA Today reached out to me, Clarion Ledger. I went to Clarion Ledger in Mississippi for another 2 years. And I was just doing a little bit of everything over there. One of my favorite stories was obviously Coach Foster. Another one of my favorite stories was Amisha Holiday. She was just Amisha Williams back then, who became the first WNBA player drafted from an HBCU in 20 years a year later. So those were two of my favorite stories. And then Deion Sanders came. And when Deion Sanders came, that took my like just attention on a national level to another level. Like everybody more started paying attention to me. I had some run-ins with Deion, stuff got public, and then so a bunch of people were blowing up my phone. I wasn't saying anything publicly, so it was just a lot of people just calling me from around the country, people from Minnesota, people from New York, LA, everywhere, Indiana, everywhere. And they was just asking me what was going on. And I got a call from Atlanta at Rolling Out. They said, we have an opening. You want to come home? Like, heck yeah, I want to come home. And that's how I came home. A lot of people thought I got fired by the Clarion Ledger. And we talked about this beforehand, Britt. I didn't get fired. It was just the timing of it. Like, everybody was just hitting me up. And I got a call and an offer to come back home. And I took it. So it was just like the timing of it was, it kind of looked like I got pushed out. But Clarion Ledger, they had my back the entire time throughout all the Deion drama. Chris Thomas, Marlon Walker, he was the editor at the time, Josh Capers, sports editor at the time. They was all backing me to stay in the job and to staying there to be the JSU football beat reporter at the time. So that's how that happened. And so I was at Rolling Out for 3 years, and now I'm in New Orleans. So yeah.
Let's talk about Unrivaled. So the league is 2 weeks in now. So is it what you've expected so far?
It's been cool. It's been cool. I know the first game, the first day. Last weekend, I was like, yo, this is crazy. This is like a all-star league. And you see the rosters as they're being announced and see the draft and stuff. But it's different like seeing them all play because you're like the person they pass to or the person running the floor on the team and stuff like that. It's like they're all stars. Like they're like the best players on their team, best players in the league and stuff like that. So it was really cool for me to see that. I felt like it was high-level basketball. Excuse me, especially that first night. At the end of the first weekend, I think we really started to see because, like, another thing I was looking at was like just how much running they were doing. because it's different than, 3-on-3 Olympics where it's half court, it's 3-on-3 full court. So it's like, I was just looking, it's like fast break, outlet pass. I'm like, oh my goodness, how are they just staying up for this? The end of the first weekend, I started to see a little bit fatigue, a little more missed shots, a little more kind of turnovers, a little more sloppy play. So I'm like, ah, okay, second week, we're already here. We're already seeing some injuries, some players banged up. Now I'm like, okay, what are we doing? The scores are a bit lower now. So I'm like, oh, well, okay. I guess it's just one way, the only way to see how it goes is to see it through the entire season. But like I said, my initial first day, fresh legs, everybody, amazing high level basketball with high level players. But I do have like a little concerns about like the longevity of it. I just maybe they're gonna expand the rosters kind of going down the line or something like that. And but yeah, but I love the idea. I love the getting on TNT. I love the crew, the broadcast crew. Love getting Taylor Rooks involved with women's basketball. I don't think she's ever been involved with women's basketball. She has a huge platform. So they hired the right people. The court looks nice. The venue is nice and kind of intimate in Miami. So, you're not looking at a bunch of seats and people just roasting the seats instead of paying attention to the games. I like it down there.
I will say I think they're intentionally trying to be fast paced. So like you said, a 3-on-3 full court is like get the ball and go. We're trying to score, put up points, and it takes a toll on your body just the back and forth. So I'm sure when they're practicing, they're preparing for that as well. But like you said, it's been a lot of injuries already, and we're only 2 weeks in, and they play Friday, Saturday, Monday. So we'll see. I think with it being the first year, they're trying to figure things out. They do have similarities to the W, where they have a relief player. So in the W, they had a hardship contracts. So in Unrivaled, they have the relief contracts. We've already seen Heidemann join a team. Who else they signed?
Melissa.
Nelissa Smith, because at six, if you have two players to get injured, you're down to four. So you don't have any subs for real. So teams just trying to make it work. So I like the fast pace, putting up points, but the injuries are something we have to be concerned about as well. And then I like it's quicker. It's not gonna be slow. So during the regular, like the first three quarters, one free throw is worth 2 points. We know a technical foul, one you get one shot versus 1 point, but not slowing the game down too much. Shooting two free throws, you either make or miss, take your points, and move on. And then we had to figure out the point system in the fourth quarter. It's like, well, how do they determine the winning score? So we both, or you realized, and you told me that entering the fourth from the highest score. So if the score is 60 to 55, then the winning score or the game, the points, you have to get to 71 to win. 11 points from whatever the highest score was entering the fourth quarter. But everything's been really cool from the business side. When you look at, like you talked about, the reporters, the analysts, Renee Montgomery, Lisa Leslie, Taylor Rooks, the amenities that they have for the players, first class. And then I like the fact that the sponsors, so a sponsor will pay for a commercial free first quarter. So we're not going to have all these commercials. You just pay top dollar, sponsor this first quarter, and we don't have to have any commercials. And then if you pay attention, even the refs have ads on their
Sephora,
back. The
yeah.
Sephora. I was like, that's dope too. That's smart. So just the marketing and the business side of things has stood out to me. I like the fact that they have the coaches mic'd up so you can hear them during timeouts and just coaching throughout. Just the interviews, the players having fun. So it's been really dope to see so far.
I do have an event.
Okay.
We already did the can the regular high school basketball player like. Are they a good basketball player? So here's my second one. We need to abolish in-play interviews. Like I don't care. Obviously, it bothers the players because they're trying to focus on the games. Like I see it fit for one occasion only, All-Star games. Like in baseball, when they were doing it with the players in the outfield, I was like, oh, this is so funny. They're like, oh, I gotta go get this. They did it in spring training. I was like, oh, this is amazing. They did it in basketball growing up. If you remember in the NBA when they would interview Shaq, he would bring like a shoe remote control and he'd be driving the shoe around the sideline in Denver at the All-Star game in 05. And they or Craig Sager's last game and Kobe gives him a hard time while he's on the bench, like those are the moments where I feel like, okay, in-game interviews, in-play interviews, I'm all with. With the WNBA, bro, with these coaches and the coaches, huh? What you say? Oh, we gotta like I don't want to hear that. They don't want to do it. I don't like it. I feel like I'm bothering them, and I'm not even doing the interviews. I'm just watching the game from home. Well, the same thing with the players here at Unrivaled. They're being interviewed, and like Taylor Rooks is a sit-down type of journalist, so it's like she asks like in-depth questions. So she's asking like, "When's the first time you ever fell in love with touching a basketball?" Like like I can't think of that when I'm looking at my team. We're down by five. We're trying to get back in the game. You're asking me about my love for basketball from the age of five. I'm 25 now. It's too much going on. It's too much going on. We have to abolish that. I'm cool without it. You guys can tell stories like you got Lisa Leslie and Candace Parker and like you said, Renee Montgomery. Tell me stories about like the WNBA in the 2000s, bro. Like I'd rather hear that than you interviewing a player about their life in the middle of the game.
Who was interviewed about their life in the middle of the game in Arrival?
They just interviewed. So they interviewed Satu last night on the bench during the
Oh,
game.
sure did, sure
They
did.
interviewed Courtney Williams during the game last night. So those are just two that I remember from last night, but they've been doing it the whole week.
But Courtney was on the side, like she was an acting commentator. She wasn't actually playing though.
Okay, so salute to Courtney.
So
See.
yeah. So and Courtney is she's fun for TV too. So and
For
it's
sure,
dope
for
to
sure.
hear somebody who's from the South. You can't deny that she's from the South talking
Yeah.
and having fun. So I get it. During a game, like a coach will be trying to coach and they're hey, get, dude, and they're trying to talk to him. I don't like that either. And then the players don't have a chance to catch their breath. In between timeouts, they're trying to interview them. They're sweating and everything. I'm like, somebody get them a towel or something. So I agree with that. But I like the fact that the coaches are mic'd up and you can hear what they're
Oh,
saying.
okay. Yeah.
But
I rock with that. I rock with that.
I'm
Yes.
talking about the coaches and then, because you can hear them yelling. And then, during the timeouts, it's like all excess with that. So the players, they're playing hard, breathing hard. Let them be. But the coaches, you know what I mean? I like that. But I do agree that it's distracting during the games. One other thing I want to add, I like the fact that coaches can challenge a call and not lose a timeout if they don't win the challenge in Unrivaled. In the W, I don't like the fact that they lose a timeout. Like, if I want to challenge a call, I should be able to challenge it and not lose a timeout. I lost the challenge. Well, I gotta lose a timeout as
No,
well.
it's like the NFL, like, because you just can't, because you be challenging twice a quarter. Nah, we not doing that.
No, they're limited though. They get what? One challenge
Oh
per
yeah.
half?
One challenge, like one challenge, I think a half, maybe.
Right.
Like
Right.
you get two challenges if you win one. I think it is something like that. So sorry, I'm asking
Yeah.
you guys. Oh, Rashad, I get it, but yeah.
I just don't feel like I lost the challenge. I saw the replay. I felt like it should be overturned. Obviously, when the refs go review it, they don't see it the same way. Okay, cool. I shouldn't lose a timeout. But that's just my opinion. But I like the fact that in Unrivaled, they don't lose a timeout. So let's move forward. Let's talk about how do you think Unrivaled is impacting free agency? Because free agency is currently on the way, underway.
Yeah. First things first, I do want to say like another great part about this. Like you mentioned the sponsors and stuff, but I think the biggest thing here is like the pay. They're all getting at least $100,000 here. That's huge. That's huge.
I thought it was 250.
They're getting 200, taking 250.
I've been hearing
Oh my
250.
gosh, hold on. I have to look this up. They're
Let's
getting
yeah, confirm
250.
it. Confirm. Let's confirm that. I've heard, I
All
thought
right.
even Lisa Leslie said it during.
No, they have a 250K tournament. So it's the one-on-one tournament that they were talking about. They're like one-on-one, whoever wins it gets 250K.
Players
Someone's.
are reportedly being paid an average salary of more than 200,000. This is ESPN.com.
I see right here, 2024, at minimum 100,000 for each player. Total salary payout would be 3 million.
Okay. Well, okay, maybe it's the 250,000 for the tournament, but like you said, at least the
Yeah,
minimum is
yeah.
100K, and that's good.
That's probably more than a lot of these players. Like, if you're on your rookie deal, like Ryan Howard probably her salary from the Dream is probably like I would guess like 79. Yeah. Her average salary is 75,000. So yeah, in 2025, this year she'll receive 91,000. So like even now this season she's gonna make more in this unrivaled stint than she will with the Dream this summer. I think, just hats off to that, first of all. Second, the players can dodge it all in the interviews that they want to. Oh, I'm not worried about the WNBA right now. I'm not thinking about the offseason. I'm focused on Unrivaled. You're human. You spend time around other humans, like you rub shoulders with them enough. It's gonna have an effect on you, whether it be, AAU or USA or something like that. Like you're always gonna kind of remember that time that you guys had, especially if you're doing. I'm seeing like Vinyl. They did a team bonding activity where they did like the little spinning paint stuff and everything. You spend a lot of time with these people and you're learning to like them, right? Dejanay and Mabry. When Mabry just got traded to Connecticut last season, they had to learn how to like each other, and they eventually did. And now they're like best friends. And you know what I'm saying? You just spend enough time with people, you're gonna end up, kind of growing closer to them, usually.
How do you think Unrivaled is impacting CBA negotiations.
There's a lot of people with money that really want to invest, that really want to help out women's sports and elevate it to the next level. And this is an example of it. You can't say it doesn't exist because they just showed us in the span of 1 year that it does exist. And we can get the TNTs, we can get the media rights, the this, Sephora, blah, blah, blah. We can get all that done and really quick. And you can't say, oh, you gotta, when you go to your job and you're like, are we getting better benefits this year? Are we, can I go to the doctor's office more than twice a year? And they're like, we gotta check the budget. And then they act like they ain't got the money. Y'all got the money. And I know you're capable of getting more money because how come Nafisa Collier and Breonna Stewart by themselves come up with all this $3 million TNT deal, Sephora, first class facilities, everything that you see, top of the line coaching, Phil Handy, Teresa Spoon, you know what I'm saying? Like, how did we get all of this in 1 year and y'all can't get this with the major help of a corporation like the NBA? Like, stop, don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining. So it's like, yeah. You really putting some pressure on them to come up with this money, to come up with this investment, because we did it by ourselves independently in just 1 year, once again.
Unrivaled has definitely set a new standard. With that being said, why do you think they were able to do what they were able to do and the W wasn't? Because you look at the investors, the Gary V's, the Carmelo Anthony's, all of these different people. They've been there. A few years back, the WNBA had a fundraise where they raised $75 million. And they had corporations like Nike to invest, other individual investors. So what is the issue?
I have to give credit to my boy. He's a UConn fan. His name is Joel. One time I was talking to him and he said the WNBA will never reach its full potential as long as it's owned by the NBA. Because he believes that the NBA never wants to see the WNBA get bigger than the NBA. I think this past year with injuries and Caitlin Clark, we saw a glimpse of what it's like for the WNBA to even be like nearly as popular as the NBA. Forget like more popular, but just nearly in the same ballpark as popular as the NBA. We saw when those young women were in college last year, we saw LSU South Carolina regular season outdraw Boston Celtics versus the Miami Heat on ESPN. We saw in the championship, women's have more ratings and better viewership than the men's the entire time. We saw the numbers with Caitlin Clark, the Caitlin Clark phenomenon, and we see the same kind of similar thing going on with Angel Reese. Angel Reese in my pantry right now with the with her little cereal box. So it's like this is without the support. I don't think the NBA wants to go all in with the support because if they do, it's going to become bigger than the NBA. NBA, what are we talking about right now? Oh, viewership is down. We trying to figure out how to do this thing. We don't know who's going to replace LeBron yet. LeBron just turned 40. He told you multiple times the end is near, closer to, Steph is 16 years in. Durant is about 17 years. You know what I'm saying? So it's like the NBA is in trouble and the WNBA is on the rise. And I don't think they want to see the WNBA get just more popular than the NBA, to be honest. I think that's what it comes down to.
No, you made some great points. I want to get more into that, but I'm gonna leave that there, and we're gonna move on and get more into WNBA free agency. I want to talk about some of the key players and maybe what's next for them. So, first, I want to talk about the Chicago Sky. So, I like the hire in Tyler Marsh. I still don't like how they did Teaspoon with just giving her 1 year. That wasn't enough time. But coming back with Tyler and what he's been able to do with the Aces and player development, I like that. And I like the staff he's been putting together. He hired Courtney Paris, which was one half of the Paris sisters when they were hooping at Oklahoma. And they had Danielle Robinson. That's back when they was legit. They were really good. And I like that because I was saying in a previous episode that I wanted somebody to work closely with the post players and to continue to develop them. Camilla Cardoso to get some footwork and low post moves. Courtney Paris will help her with that. She will also help Angel, but Tyler can also help her develop her mid-range and three-point shot the same way he's helped Asia Wilson. And they're both lefties. She really can do some of the same things that Asia has. He also hired former Atlanta Dreams head coach Tanisha Wright to the staff. So he's putting together a great staff, which seems to be a win right now staff. But some of the decisions regarding the players don't seem to reflect that, meaning they didn't core Kennedy Carter. Now, I understand Angel Reese is your franchise player, but Kennedy Carter last season was the Sky's best player. So to me, you build around Kennedy, Angel, Cardoso. They have the number three and number 10 picks in the first round of the WNBA draft this year. My opinion, the way I was thinking about it, if Olivia Miles declares for the draft and she's still available at number three, you get her, you pair her along with a Kennedy Carter, because you're seeing it now where Olivia plays well with Hannah Hidalgo. Hannah's very ball dominant. She's a scorer, can defend, plays just like Kennedy Carter, that gritty type player. Olivia is more pass first, facilitator. Let me get everybody else involved, and I'm still going to get mine. You can play both of them together, and you can play one of them with the first group or the second group while the other one is getting rest. Then with that 10th pick, because I know they've been wanting to add a shooter, add a bigger guard, you can go with Assunya Citron, who has been great for Notre Dame.
Are you
They really.
saying the Chicago Fighting Irish?
Hey, listen, if it's working at the college level and we really develop that at the next level, it can work. So she is really a big three. Sonya just doesn't get as much attention as Hannah and Olivia, but Sonya is a big guard that can score, create her own shot, defend. She's a really great player. So if you're able to get her at 10, or if she's not available, the next player I would look at would be Tahina Pow-Pow. She's not as big as Sonya, but still a bigger guard who can
Hey,
score, create her
look,
own shot. Look, I'm giving.
I'm gonna say this about Pow Pow
Okay, go ahead.
on Chicago. I think a lot of Chicago fans gonna agree with this. Would y'all think Pow Pow would be an upgrade from Dana Evan?
Oh yeah, a lot of them would probably say yes. Yeah.
You know how them Chicago fans feel about Dana Evan.
Listen, I don't know what Dana is gonna do, if she's gonna leave, if she's gonna stay. So the fact they're mad that the Sky didn't core Kennedy, it's like they feel like you chose Dana over Kennedy. But I think Dana has a different situation with her contract or something like that. I don't know the odds and ends of it, but I'm talking about the future. If they wanted to, because it hasn't been that long ago, the Sky won the championship with Candace Parker. So if we're talking about making the playoffs this year and having a chance to be a contender, what I just said, if you had cored Kennedy, we're gonna keep Kennedy with what you already have and Angel Cardoso, and then you have the vets like Elizabeth Williams. You have Bantam coming out there. I think she came off the bench, but she can shoot. And then you add Olivia Miles and a Assunya Citron or a Tahina Pow-Pow. Man. So I don't understand the moves that they're making as far as the team. It's like they want to rebuild, but I'm like, you have it right now. With Angel and Kennedy, it was kind of like Shaq and Penny Hardaway when he was with the Magic. You know what I'm
100%.
saying? So
100%.
I don't understand. I don't understand it.
A lot of people talk about how poorly ran like Chicago's been since like they kind of fumbled the entire Del Don situation a few years ago and stuff like that. It's just always been like a series of head scratching moves. I don't know. I don't know why you fired Spoon. Because it was like one of the things they said with Spoon was, okay, Spoon didn't check Kennedy. She let Kennedy be Kennedy too much. And Kennedy loved that, obviously, but it's like the rest of the team was like, why aren't you holding Kennedy up to the same standard as everybody? So it's like, if that was the issue, it's the same thing in the NFL we've seen with Gerard Mayo over there in New England. Gerard Mayo had a good first season. They fired him because they said the Joker, instead of watching film on the plane on the way back to New England, he playing cards with the player. So it's like, it's the same thing. So it's like, but if it was working, if it ain't broke, why try to fix it? First of all, Shake it off. If you're gonna do that, okay, we're gonna fire Spoon because we ain't like the way that she didn't check Kennedy. Wouldn't you bring Kennedy back and see if the new coach can check Kennedy instead? So you got rid of both of the players, both of the folks that you thought was problems within the organization. Despite that, y'all was still in the running for the playoffs to the last day of the season, with the best player, Angel, out for with the injury the last couple weeks. I didn't really get it. You guys still had a pretty successful season. You guys overachieved from what you were supposed to do. Kennedy kind of overachieved from what people really expected from her after missing the entire season in 2023. My thing is like, how bad is Kennedy, bro? I want to know personally because it's like you could throw all the temperature tantrums in the world. If at the end of the day, I seen Kennedy Carter win games for the Chicago Sky last year. She went into Atlanta, won the game. She went into a couple other places and won the game for them. A couple of those early Caitlin matchups. People focus on the shoulder check, but she also outplayed Caitlin just period. So it's like, if you're getting that from Kennedy, probably arguably the best guard in the league, in my opinion, best guard in the league. Why are you so quick to like, what is, did she talk about your mama? Like what's going on? I don't know what's going on with Kennedy for all these teams to just be thinking like, she's just so bad. I know in Atlanta, there was a rumored reported fight, quote unquote, rumor, all that stuff like that in the locker room. That's why she was benched and eventually they traded her. But I don't know. I don't know how bad it could possibly be for y'all to treat Kennedy Carter like she's, you know what I'm saying? I wanted to say a name, but I didn't want the video to get banned on YouTube.
Well, I don't know her personally. I don't know the culture and what's going on in the locker room. I know what happened in Atlanta. I think she was on Twitter on like some a live or something, and she was having a conversation, and she was saying she and that teammate hashed things out. That situation is better. She seems to be doing better in China. She's playing overseas in China now, and they're saying she's working on, being a better teammate, her
So
attitude.
someone made a joke and said she not a problem in the locker room in China because she speaks English.
I don't know. But my thing is, and you can kind of get that rep when something happens with one team and then the situation that happened with Kaylin, it's like, oh, she's the same. So it's like every team may be looking at her like we don't want to deal with her, even though she's a great player. And I hate that because, especially when it comes to women, they want us to be a certain way. But when if it's a man, you don't have an issue with it. She can't be more of a problem than Draymond Green has been. And he's gotten a lot of chances. And when you talk about, yes, he's been a part of that core for Golden State, but Kennedy was way more valuable to her team, the Sky, than Draymond is for Golden State. He's a key player, but I'm talking about the engine making the Sky go, leading score. So, I mean, what are we talking about?
You can't tell me with Golden State as well that it's because they value Draymond because as soon as Klay Thompson didn't become Klay Thompson every night and he wasn't Splash Brother Klay Thompson, they said, okay, thank you for all you've done. Thank you, Klay Thompson. You can go on to Dallas and take your money. So you can't tell me that that's the reason why they. So that's a very great example there of just like a man get away with it, a woman won't. Yeah, you can go ahead.
And we talk about that situation. I'm surprised they got rid of Clay. When you say it, like you said, he had one, maybe two rough seasons, and you want to get rid of him after all he's done? You know what I
And
mean? So
when's the last time Draymond averaged 15 points in a season?
I don't know. I can't tell you.
Might be 2015.
I can't tell
Like,
you, but
salute to Draymond Green. Salute to Draymond. But at the
yeah.
same time, bro, you be tripping, bro. And you know you be tripping. Huh? And you just keep your spot because of what you did in 2015, bro. It's 10 years. It's a whole decade later. It's 2025. You can no longer trick me. It's like the 08 Celtics when they're like, yeah, we was bad. Y'all won one championship 20 years ago. Like, let it go.
Well, I don't want to spend too much time on it. I will say it's not to downplay the player that Draymond is. He brings grit. He brings energy to the team. He's a great passer from the forward position. He can score. He rebounds. And people respect him for what he brings to the team, but we know he goes to the left a lot, has gone to the left. And that time he spent away from the team where he was supposed to be doing therapy, he didn't even stay away the whole time he was supposed to stay. He was back within a month. So you mean to tell me a team can't do the same thing with Kennedy? Okay, if we're really trying, let's do this with her because we understand she's valuable. So I just
Dana
don't like.
Evans literally demanded a trade in the middle of the season. It leaked that she demanded the trade. The reporter asked her about it. Hey, you been in trade rumors? She said, yeah, you know, if my feet, she pretty much confirmed I demanded a trade in the middle of the season. And they decided to core Dana Evans with a new, fresh, new coach, a new start in Chicago. You keep the player that said they don't want to be there, and you get rid of the player that wants to be there and so happy for the new opportunity. And I don't get it.
Yeah,
And
I don't
one
get
couldn't hit, Dana Evans couldn't hit a shot if it's the biggest the ocean. She couldn't hit, throw a penny in the ocean last season. Salute to Dana Evans. She was a great player at Louisville, everything like that. Great start to the W. But she ain't made nothing last year. And you keep her, and she don't even want to be there versus a player that want to be there, and it was the best player. I don't get it. Because she hurt somebody's feelings because she said your mama in the locker room. I don't get it. I don't get it. You can get past that. Like you said, you can throw the girl in therapy. We gonna th oh, excuse me, the woman. You could throw the woman in therapy for a couple months. Okay. You know, woosah. What happened when you was 50? Oh man, my coach yelled at me, and ever since then, I was like, it's all up for me, and
Wait.
that's why I don't pass the ball. You know, and you can get past that. And
Yeah.
by July, we all good. Go ahead, Britt.
Well, I was saying we ain't gonna throw it in there. We're gonna take therapy seriously, and we hope it works and it makes a difference for her. But I'm just saying they could have, took the same approach is all I'm saying. But I don't get the moves they're making, like I said, especially with the staff that they have. So they're pretty much trying to rebuild. So they're not in win mode right now, it doesn't seem to me. So I want to talk about the Connecticut Sun. They hired a new coach who came from overseas. He was coaching in France. In my understanding, he had a lot of success over there. So do you feel like if he has success with the Sun, it helps them get over the hump? Because they've struggled in the playoffs and, to win a championship. If he does that, do you think the W or W teams will look to hire more coaches from overseas?
So this new coach is probably and is looking at a new start, a fresh new start with the franchise. And if he builds that franchise up and he does an amazing job or whatever and stuff like that, then yeah, I definitely see that. I think one thing that we definitely saw in this coaching cycle is the W outsource. You know, the dream, the coach they hired was a guy from a mid-major in college. Who else? Who hired the Utah coach?
That's the
Who hired
Sparks. The
the
Spark
Sparks?
Spark.
Sparks hired the coach from Utah. Like, that's not necessarily like one of the power blue blood programs that you think about when you think of college basketball.
And then who was the other guy? Smesko. He came from
Yeah, he came from Florida
Gulf
Gulf
Coast.
Coast.
Yeah. And he's the is that the Dreams coach?
Yeah, that's the
The
Dreams
Dreams
coach.
coach. Okay.
And then who hired the
The guy.
Because if the Sparks hired Utah's coach,
The Wings hired the
they
guy with the
hired
hat on.
Jesus. They hired Jesus,
Yeah.
the assistant coach from USC. He gets hired. So it's like you're not even hiring, you know what I'm saying, the obvious people. You know, we usually see the same folks. Vicky Johnson goes here. Tanisha Wright now goes here because she's in that cycle now. Like you usually see the same type of coaches just kind of switch teams. This time we saw a lot, just a fresh new faces, new energy in the W get hired. So now it's like, I think depending on the success of all these coaches, including the coach from France, you're going to see like a whole new kind of hiring method. And you're not going to see the same five coaches just go from team to team now. So I think that's refreshing. And I think it's good for the game.
Okay, so next I want to talk about Satu Sabally. So a lot of people think she's going to go to New York to play with her sister. I don't know who you get rid of to have her come in. You're not going to get rid of Jonquel Jones, not Stewie. They're already pretty loaded, in the post. So I don't see her going to New York. I know the Fever would be a great fit for her. The Aces, now
Wait,
I'm
hold on.
like,
With the fever, before we move on,
okay.
what are we doing with Nelissa Smith now? It, same position, same type of thing. What's going on?
Well, because you have Aaliyah Boston, but Nelissa Smith, she started to come off the bench. You know, they had Fatembele starting. Now that Fatembele is no longer there, Sabali is your starter, and Nelissa Smith still comes off the bench. So that way you still have your post. You have Aaliyah Boston, you have Sabali, and then you have Nelissa Smith.
I think that's a recipe for drama.
You think so? Mm.
Now, Nelissa and her family, her entourage, they don't like that backseat stuff.
Mm.
Like it happened with her rookie year, with Rookie of the Year. Everybody's like, yeah, Ryan Howard, number one pick, this and that. Her brother was on, Ryan Howard didn't do as much as Nelissa. And I'm like, bro, like what? Like, so when Caitlin came in, I was like, oh, I see jealousy already happening with that. When they was talking about with Aaliyah Boston the year before coming in, like, give Aaliyah number one. Aaliyah ain't wearing number one. This Nelissa team. So now one season coming off the bench, I think it was a couple times where Nelissa was already kind of venting her little frustrations during the season last year. I just don't know if she's gonna do two seasons off the bench, especially with someone like Satu, someone's kind of like a peer, kind of came in around the same period as her, taking her spot. I don't know how she's gonna accept that.
Well, I got you. And there's nothing wrong with coming off the bench. People have to start accepting those roles. Like you look at Malaysia Fulawali in college. She can start for any program, but she comes off the bench and still does well. When you think about that team is structured for it's
We'll
a team.
see what happens if Fulawali enters the portal. That's yet
We'll
to
see.
be seen.
We'll see, but I'm saying we've seen success off the bench. I mentioned Jamal Crawford, Lou Williams, which they're great guards, post players. There have been great post players coming off the bench that, you can still get yours. It's 40 minutes in a game. So if you're playing 20 minutes, you can still come in and have 16 and 12 in 20 minutes. So I don't see why everybody looks down on coming off the bench. But like you said, if she's a peer and you feel like I'm giving the same thing or maybe something better than this person, I don't want to come off the bench behind them. But I see that working. So maybe they move on from Nelissa Smith in a trade or something like
And
that.
she wears the number one.
Well, everybody wear number one, don't they? Everybody want to be the one. So I don't know. I don't know. But those are the biggest names, and it's going to be interesting to see where they land. So we'll
Trade
see.
Nelissa to Connecticut for Mabry. And now you're
Like,
cooking with some grease here. And bring in Satu and have Mabry come off the bench. Or, you could start Mabry and have Lexi Hole and them jokers coming up. You're cooking with some grease in Indiana at that point. You're looking at a young super team at that point.
you're saying to have Sabali there. You
Yeah.
trade.
With
Okay.
Satu,
Leah Boston.
Mabry, Leah, and Caitlin.
Okay, last thing I want to cover. Paige Bueckers has been the projected number one pick, but do you think she's still the definite number one pick?
I need to start off by saying this. Paige is like the person that like jump started a lot of stuff for me online. I always appreciate Paige Bueckers. She is her for sure. I think if Paige isn't the number one pick, if the talk starts to shift to what about Olivia Miles? Olivia Miles again. I think a lot of it is fatigue because Paige is old now. Paige is as old as some of the players who are in their second, third year now in the WNBA, like they kind of came in the same high school class, right? So it's like, I think that's the only reason why Paige doesn't go number one. But we've seen that before in other sports and in other drafts where, a player would be considered and talked about number one for so long that, folks will just hold on. Let me switch. There we go. Folks will just switch up on them and stuff like that because they're tired of hearing them being talked about as number one.
And then a lot of people thinking Flage may declare. So if Flage declares, do you think she's a top three pick?
For sure. I think Like, I've always been of the thing of like, I think if Laje just wants to brag and write, she should stay this year to be the number one pick next year. But a lot of people are saying like Lauren Betts, who people expected to be in this draft, might stay another year at UCLA just because her little sister is coming in next year and she want to play with her little sister 1 year. So that changes up dynamics. I think Flajay might declare if Chris Hilton declares for the is Chris Hilton old enough? I have to see if he's I should know this. We do LSU.
Oh, he's talking about her boyfriend. Okay.
Yeah, because you know it might seem something kind of dumb or stupid, something small, but when you're like 20 years old, 21 years old, you would make a life-changing decision based off what your boyfriend did. So I don't know, like it's just something I'm looking at. I don't think he hasn't announced yet. He hasn't made a decision. So, and he's a junior, so he can come back to LSU. But I don't know. I feel like if Laje wants to beat South Carolina just to say she beat South Carolina in her career, kind of get that out the way, then she returns as well. But she already accomplished everything else in college. National championship, SEC freshman of the year. She's probably going to be one of the All-Americans this year. So at that point, what now? You know, and where she's already claimed like the top amount of NIL deals that she can probably get in college. She's already got the most attention and notoriety she can get from LSU. So now what at that point? And that's when you look at the draft. So I don't know what Flajay is going to do.
Or a lot of these players could just wait, knowing that the new CBA won't take effect until the 2026 season. So I'm gonna let y'all hash things out. I'm gonna play another year, continue to get my NIL money, and then once that money goes up, because we know they're gonna get a better deal, they have to. I'll enter the league in 2026. It'll be more teams. Portland will be available. Toronto will be available. 15 teams, more money. So all of these players, AZ Fudd, Olivia Flage, Lauren Betts, none of them have to leave. So that may be beneficial for those seniors who have probably been overlooked, like Isaiah James from North Carolina State. They haven't had the best season, but we know she's a great player. She's a great scorer. She may actually move higher in the draft. Haley Van Lith has re-increased her stock, been doing well for TCU. She may move higher in the draft. So we'll see.
I'm looking at a mock right here. Janiah Barker, after taking a
Oh,
couple
yeah.
pit stops in her career and stuff like that, she's playing well for UCLA. She might. Now, the more I'm looking at it, a lot of these players at the top is like, why would LA take REF in? You know what I'm saying? And you
Here
know,
it's
Irfan. We pronounce it one way her entire time at Stanford. She
Yeah,
transferred,
they
and now
changed.
she's like, no. I pronounce it this way. And I'm like, why didn't you say this at Stanford? Anyways, so she could slide down a little bit. Anissa, I always just assumed she was going to Golden State, but now it looks like she might not even be available at that point at five. I don't know what's going on, man. I don't know what's going on with this draft. I think it's almost a crapshoot to see who declares and what happens.
But see, it's a lot of posts. So we know Anissa Morrow is gonna go. We know she's gonna get drafted high, but who we know the sky isn't gonna take her because they don't need another post player.
Right.
Like you said, the Sparks, they don't necessarily need another post player. With the Wings are gonna go with a guard. They're gonna go with the best player available, I believe, and somebody who can help Arike. Now they could. The fact that Sabali is leaving, they could draft a post player that's good and can score and can help Arike. But we just all kind of assumed that it would be Paige, you know,
If
because
Anissa went number one, that would surprise me.
it would surprise you. So it's not many. When you think about the guards, Haley Van Lith, Isaiah James, who else, like, we know for sure? Because everybody else is up in the air. What are
On
you
an
seeing as far as guards that are available for sure?
like you said, like I think Olivia just declares because it's like, what else do you have to prove? And then, do you want to just continue just sharing the spotlight with Hidalgo? I think you just kind of give Hidalgo the team and just like, okay, I bounced back from my injury. I showed y'all I could still play. If I'm Olivia, I leave while the iron's hot. I'm still healthy. I can still move. I just go this year. So I'm looking at Olivia, obviously Sonya, her teammate, Ducharme, I guess, over there in UConn. She's also someone who has dealt with injuries for the past couple of years. I don't know if she does declare. I don't know how much eligibility she has because she's been at UConn for a little minute. So this might be the year she has to declare. And AZ, you've been there 4 years now. So it's like, I don't know.
I don't think she declares because coming off that injury this year, she hasn't. We haven't been able to see UConn in full effect like that much this year. So I don't know. Unless she has a great second half of the season, they make a deep run in the tournament and she goes crazy. I don't know if she leaves. But when you talk about all of these guards you're naming, none of them are, besides Paige, which I said Paige hasn't really had a box office year, none of them will have a team that's built around them. Even in Olivia Miles, she's somebody you would pair with another great player. You see what I'm saying? Like she can score, but she's more of a facilitator.
Oh, no one really guards wise pop in this draft. This is more of a, like you said, a post draft. But even the post, it's just like Pastanisa and Kiki, who? Like the draft, I expected kind of like a little more from the draft, but it's like so many players are going to be going back to school, like a Betts, like a Flage, that the draft is going to be as juicy as we probably thought coming into the year.
And I know you'll have that player from France. What's the young lady's name? I think she's projected to go high.
Dominique.
Overseas player.
Dominique.
Yeah. What's her position?
Center, she's 6'6".
Okay, so you have that's another post player. And then what about Sedona Prince? Does she declare?
Yeah, but she's also like 27.
Well, still though, I mean 6'7". I mean, but you're gonna get a lot of that. You're gonna get, even on the men's side, they say these players are old, but because of the COVID year and you get the extra years if you have injuries, you're gonna see a lot of players come in older than normal. And that's fine. You know what I mean? They're still young. We talk about these people are 24, 25. That's not old. But as long as the skill is there, the talent is there, and they're healthy, I think teams will still draft them.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, I think Sedona Prince, yeah, definitely is like a good addition to the draft. And Haley Van Lith, talking her, like you said, talking her way back into the draft has been huge. And then, Z James, as you mentioned as well over there at NC State, does
Does
Sonata Rivers come out
she
this year? I don't
declare?
know. I don't know. Yeah, I think those NC State kids, they've been together for a little while. Maddie Hayes over there, former Mississippi State, she's been over there for a couple seasons. Does she does NC State, does that entire core just say like, we tried this, we're not better than South Carolina, let's just go to the league,
Yeah, and I think some of these players, once they get to the league, their game is gonna really grow, like a Sanaya Rivers, Aziah James. Like they get with the right trainer to really develop their games. But again,
Do you see Maddie Hayes being anything in the league?
I'm no, because she's at NC State, right?
Yeah, the one from Mississippi State.
So that again, when I'm thinking about NC State is Rivers, James, you have Zoe. I think it's Zoe. Is it Zoe James? She's a sophomore this year, and then you have the freshman, who's a
I
McDonald's
know.
All-American.
Yeah,
So
I know you.
all of those
Who'll
players,
be doing the 360 layup?
So Maddie, she's like, I'm thinking about all of those players before I even think of her. So. And some of these players, they get to the league and they find their niche and they do well with the right team. So even though we may not see it, she could get to the league, have opportunity, and do well.
Let me see before we get out of here. How old is Cheyenne Sellers? What is she?
I don't know.
I'm looking it up right. She's a senior, so Sellers has to come out this year, right? Unless she,
Who the Sellers play for?
Maryland Goggles.
Yes, okay, she's another guard that but again, all of these players, she's one that can really grow and develop and then be good. Like she's good now, but really like, oh man, really take off. But again, it's like they will be paired with somebody. Nobody's really like we're building around them.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So the last thing I want you to let people know how they can find you and follow and keep up with your work.
First things first, thank you, Britt, for having me on. I like the show. I'll be watching the show, as you know. So it's cool being on the other side and being on here now. I guess Rashad Milligan on Twitter would be like the main X. I'm on Blue Sky as well, but I haven't posted on there. I don't know how to use it. My job just told me to get Blue Sky, so I made an account. But Twitter, Rashad Milligan, RashadMilligan, and that's I guess the best place. And then no, YouTube for real. To be honest, YouTube, like, let's be for real. Like, I don't even tweet that much for real. So YouTube is my name, RashadMill. I had to see how to spell my name, Milligan on YouTube.
This has been another episode of Sports Minded. I'm your host, Brittany Young. Until next time, y'all be blessed. We out of here.